Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, just like a Murillo Crossfield ball. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Danilo's free.
First time we've seen them attack them, and there's Brandon! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robinson do! Tyler won, he scores! And the sticky ground goes ballistic!
He's through here! And in the end, Forrest will say it doesn't matter how you play, as long as you win it!
Yeah!
Hello and welcome to this preview edition of Red Side Le Trent as we look ahead to Saturday's eagerly anticipated PGMOL derby against Wolverhampton Wanderers. And I'm joined by Adam Wicklow and delighted to be joined by Dan from Wolves Fancast. So Dan, first of all, thank you for joining. How are you?
Yeah, pleasure to be on, guys. I think it was, I'm not sure whether it was last season. It would have been last season, wasn't it? I was on the show. Bit of a tumultuous relationship Wolves have got with Forest over the last 18 months with the Morgan Gibbs-White saga, that tasty Carabao Cup fixture that we had, and then the Spitgate with Powdens and Brennan Johnson in the Premier League. So, yeah, it's another tasty game this weekend. Not overly optimistic about Wolves going into the game, but we'll talk about that a bit more in depth, I suppose.
Yeah, it's weird how we've sort of gone from like hating each other to be like best friends now, because we both have a joint enemy in the Premier League officiating team, which has been a bit of a
It might have been a Forest fan that literally tweeted about a week ago saying that there's bound to be like 8 red cards, 7 VAR wrong decisions, 400 forward passes that go nowhere, and probably a stinking draw at the end of it.
And the refs win 1-0.
Yeah. Andy Taylor at the last minute, yeah. I suppose just to ask, I mean, we'll start off with how Wolves have been this season. I mean, obviously, you're pretty much home and hosed, I mean, by all accounts. I mean, obviously, you were sort of half flirting with sort of the idea of going to Europe, but that seems to have been put on hold over the last few weeks. But how do you feel Wolves have been so far this season? I know you've already matched last season's tally, haven't you, I believe, with, what, still 6 games to go? So you must be pretty pleased on that front.
Oh, yeah, massively. We've overachieved at the moment, as long as our season doesn't completely collapse like he did under Bruno Lage 2 seasons ago. Gary O'Neill's would be up there for manager of the year for me. I think Rob Edwards will probably win it if Luton are able to stay up. But Gary's been amazing. I think he even said himself that Gary O'Neill would have been an underwhelming appointment for Gary O'Neill if he was a Wolves fan. But the team, we've still got some good players. Julian Lopetegui, his credibility is in the mud at the moment, saying that he couldn't get this team to compete on the back of what Gary's been able to come up with this season. The defeat against West Ham last week was massively disappointing, but you look at the injuries that we've got, specifically in the attacking areas at the moment, it's the reason why we're probably going to peter out and finish probably 10th to 12th, I imagine.
You can't really knock like the work he's done, though. He come in like what, a week before you kicked off against Man United.
4 days
in a game, yeah, and in a game where you were robbed by officials in that game because like Onana like basically like manhandled one of your players in the box or whatever, and not got a penalty. I don't know how that ever happened. Was you surprised about the appointment, Dan? Because we obviously didn't get to speak for the reverse fixture of this. How surprised were you when Gary O'Neill got announced, and what was your feelings at the time compared to how they are now?
Weirdly, we had someone tip us off about 6 hours before the announcement was made, and I couldn't believe it when I had the DM come through that we were appointing Gary O'Neill, because, like, on paper at the time, like I just mentioned, he said himself that he was underwhelming appointment. He'd just been relieved of his duties at Bournemouth. And it's hard not to come across as sort of arrogant in this situation, but if someone's telling me that Wolves are taking a manager that Bournemouth was sacked, it doesn't sound like there's much instant optimism coming from the club. It seemed a cheap appointment. He hasn't got much experience as a head coach. I think he only had something like 19 games, maybe even less than that at Bournemouth. But yeah, he's come in. He's obviously built a bit of a good bond in the changing room. The football's a lot better than what it was under Lopetegui, and to a degree under Nuno in the last 6 months of Nuno's tenure at Wolves. And things are optimistic. I'm just praying and imploring the club to back him in the summer, because he has earned, I'm not saying a massive war chest, but he's earned the right to try and build a squad of players that he wants to work with, instead of having to use players and that he clearly doesn't rate. Fabio Silva's the biggest one, £35 million, and he's on loan at Rangers now. Hopefully he'll be gone permanently in the summer, because it's just been a transfer that's massively stunk, and it's probably ruined our transfer windows over the last 4 or 5 transfer windows, when you're out like £35 million on an 18-year-old dude, only scored one professional goal in his career at that point. We finally got away from the Jorge Mendes thumbprint. We're trying to do things the right way now, which for me is buying smartly, not spending stupid money on players who clearly don't want to be here, like Gonzalo Guedes was the main example I'm saying there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, like, your transfer window, sorry, transfer outlay, if you like, has been patchy, I suppose you could say, at best. Obviously, with Guedes and obviously Fabio Silva. And even, to be honest, even until this season, you'd have to say maybe Cunha as well for 50 million. You didn't really get an instant return on that. I mean, what would you, from an ideal perspective for Wolves, what would you like to see O'Neill sort of go? Would you like to sort of see, like, more, like you said, people who, like, you know, will run for a brick wall for the club? Do you want to see, like, players who can maybe actively replace some of the people you've lost, such as Neves, or, for example, possibly Neto in the summer? What would you sort of, what would your focus want to be for recruitment?
I mean, you've already mentioned Pedro Neto there. I think he'll end up going this summer. We're under the impression that there's a gentleman's agreement that he will be allowed to leave this summer if a adequate fee comes in. What that sort of fee is, I don't know what your guys, how you'd rate Pedro Neto on a transfer fee, Adam, but for me personally, I'd be wanting £80 million for Pedro Neto. You're all going to roll your eyes at that. But when you look at the players that have been signed in recent years, Antony, Jadon Sancho, Mudryk, all well above £80 million, even if Pedro Neto's injured for a quarter of the season, he's still doing better goal contributions than those three that I've just mentioned. But with Pedro Neto's injury record that everyone's aware of, I think if we get anything above £50 million would be great business, because I don't see what big club out there is going to spend more than £50 million on a player that's got injuries like that. You've mentioned it just, Christian, that I think every football fan just wants players that will run through a brick wall for your team. If you get beaten by a technically better side, then you can deal with that on the day. But what sort of transfer fee do you think Pedro Neto should go for, Adam?
For me, I didn't roll my eyes at that at all, because I think at one point of the season he was the top assists for the season, and that's an absolutely brilliant outlay. I think he got like 10 or 11 assists. So for his talent, he is worth 80 million and beyond, really, for what he does on a pitch. It's the fact that his hamstrings are made of cheese string. So that is the issue overall, isn't it? It's his injury issues. So if another team thinks they can kind of like monitor that and like kind of aid him through a season to get the best out of him for like maybe 30 games or whatever, if they're going to be in Europe as well, then they might get the best out of a Pedro Neto and they might be willing to pay that. So I think you're in good stead, because like on one hand, Wolves say to Pedro Neto, you can go if we get this fee, but don't forget, we've stuck by you through thick and thin whilst you've been injured as well. And like, what club is going to do that? They like fans are very fickle and will be quick to turn on him if they spent a lot of money and he's not playing. So that's my answer to that.
I think it's similar to Neves, to be fair. I think the majority, an adequate majority of Wolves fans will reason with Neto if he does go, because they did come to this club as a part of a, you know, a bit of a stepping stone, and he has put in some good performances over for Wolves over the few years of the season. I think it might have been the pandemic season. I think if it wasn't for Pedro Neto, we might have got relegated that season, because his goals and assists on the back end of that season pretty much kept us up. But like I said, the football club always comes first. So we just need to make sure we get the right money for Pedro Neto, and then replenish this. We need to replenish the squad. That's what's killed us again this season. It killed us under Bruno Lage. We were in the Champions League running in the, up until the end of February under Bruno Lage 2 seasons ago, and we just literally had no squad to compete in the business end of the season. We let Adama Traore go to Barcelona on loan with an option to buy. And you talk about when the FFP is like having so much impact on football now. Wolves needed to bring in players in January. And for me, I found it really frustrating that we haven't tried to do a loan with an option to buy. We needed a number nine. Everyone needs a number nine. Man United need a number nine. Arsenal need a number nine to replace, you know, Gabriel Jesus's lack of goals in a season. Everyone needs a number nine. But we've got a really good team that Gary's building at the moment. João Gomes has been an absolute steal. I think he'll be key on Saturdays. He's one of my favourite midfielders in the world at the moment. Never mind just Wolves. I think he's got such an all-round game. And you talk about players that run through Wolves, he's literally one of them. He's come from the favelas in Brazil, and he literally does not stop running. They nicknamed him the Pitbull when he was at Flamengo, because he literally is that relentless at winning the ball back. Yeah, that's what you want to see, players who run through brick walls. Mario Lemina has been a steal. I think he cost something like £8 million last January. And we've got a good spine at the club at the moment. We just need to just make the squad a bit more better. But I think that's everyone's, with FFPs, everyone's struggling to spend smartly nowadays.
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, you've got Max Kilman as well at the back of that, who I know is obviously you thought off pretty fierce interest from Napoli in the summer, and obviously it looks like he might be Man United this summer coming round. So you're right, there are very good players at Wolves' disposal, and it was just a case of maybe the Lopetegui was being way too harsh and stuff like that. But obviously, speaking of ex-Wolves managers, obviously Nuno's now at Forest. How was that news sort of received down in Wolverhampton, and what have you sort of made of his impact so far?
I think there's always a bit of tribalism, isn't there? No one wants to see your favourite players or favourite coaches go on to other English clubs. But I think we sort of got rid of the ghost of Nuno after he sort of got sacked by Tottenham. It was just like, yeah, this is football. People come and go. I've still got a massive adoration for Nuno. There's a handful of people that I've met in my life, sort of what he classes like famous celebrities, and he gave me an instant sort of feeling of like well-being just meeting him, and he made me feel a bit special the way like he brought me into conversations and stuff. We had some of the best times. I saw Wolves in Europe because of Nuno and the squad that he built, and we was in like League One 5 or 6 seasons before that. So I've got forever adoration for him. I feel like he's coming to a bit of a poisoned chalice at Forest. But I looked at someone posted a league table, didn't they, the other day, that since Nuno came in at Forest, you were well above the relegation zone in the form table. So he's obviously doing some things right. But I feel like you're similar to us, is that you still haven't got that number nine or one. He's not really been fully fit, has he, under Nuno? Chris Wood, that chance he missed against Tottenham last week, order to miss then score that chance when he hit the post. I think that's just been the difference. I still think you'll have enough come the end of the season, but it's whether they can back him again in the summer, because similar to us, your squad's not great as a whole, is it?
Yeah. Well, Wood scored 9 in 10 games under Nuno. You'd be surprised to hear, Dan.
Three was against Newcastle, wasn't he?
Yeah, but still, it does not matter. Last 4 games he scored, so he's on a bit of a hot streak now. So he's in form now. But it's interesting you say that about Nuno and how he communicated with yourself in person, because a lot of fans give this opinion of him that he's really cold and he's not for the fans at the moment. And I feel like that's because of the pressure and the circumstances we're probably very much in terms of, like, he's there to do a job. He's there to keep us up at the end of the day, not make friends. So that I don't understand that notion why a manager needs to be like with the fans straight away for me. But the rest of your
tough
fixtures,
one for Nuno, isn't it? Following Cooper, like he needed to like hit the ground running, and he needs to be like giving you all like the fist to the crowd after every win, doesn't he, to try and get you on side. Yeah, as long as if he keeps you up, he's done his job, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like trying to replace, like, well, I don't want to say a god or anything like that. It's the wrong analogy, but someone who's very well liked within someone who was pretty overwhelmed. I know Christian was underwhelmed with the appointment of Nuno. I don't mind him personally, but I just wanted to talk about the rest of your fixtures, Dan. Like, you've got a say in both ends of the table with ourselves and Luton to play, and then you've got also Liverpool, Arsenal and Man City to play as well. So how do you kind of see the rest of the season going at both ends of the table with your involvement, really?
There's still a bit of a, if you look at the league table, there still is a block from probably sixth place all the way to like 13th that could still physically make Europe mathematically. I said that defeat last week at home to West Ham was damaging. We're 6 points behind West Ham, who I think are seventh, but we've got a game in hand on West Ham. So we're still in the race. Matheus Cunha came back from injury last week when we had Burnley in the midweek, and then I think he played about 20 minutes against West Ham last Saturday. Heechan Wang is likely to be in the squad this weekend, along with Craig Dawson, who's been a big miss for us the last 4 or 5 games. I'm just hoping we can scupper Arsenal in the title race, because I'm in a real minority of fans that would rather Liverpool win the league than Arsenal. That's how much Arsenal fans really get my back up nowadays. And we've got, but Arsenal have got Bayern Munich in the Champions League next midweek, and then they've got us at home next Saturday at 7:30. So we're at Molineux under the lights, plenty of drinking time. There should be a good atmosphere at home to Arsenal next week. We still need the points. I hope we can scupper Arsenal next weekend.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
That's fair enough. I'm surprised to hear people want Liverpool to win the league. I mean, that won't go down well in Nottinghamshire, I don't think.
No, so I think I've said I'm in a minority that I'd rather Liverpool win the league than Arsenal, because their fans are the most, they're the worst. They're the most toxic fan base on Twitter. And we had a bit of a running with Arsenal about 2 or 3 seasons ago with when we finished 7th, they finished 8th the one season, and then the season after we were both going for Champions League places, and they beat us twice in the space of 3 weeks, and they didn't deserve to win either game. And it's just their fan base have just been so disparaging to Wolves during that time period, and like I said, the most toxic fan base on Twitter, that I'd rather Liverpool win the title because their fans just don't deserve a title. I might feel different when it comes to the last game of the season, and we've got Liverpool at Anfield, because I'd love to go to Anfield on the last game of the season and watch them lose another title, because we've done it twice before. So I'm up for doing it again. Man City are the best of all evils. Sorry, yeah. Christian. I think that Man City best of all evils. I don't want Liverpool or Arsenal to win the league. Villa was in the title race in December. Rest in peace to that title charge. It was a massive attempt by the Villa. But yeah, it's Man City. The Man City are the best of all evils.
Obviously, living where I do, like, I know quite a few Arsenal fans, and they're not overly keen on Wolves either. So it's a pretty mutual thing. Yeah. But like, I think it sort of maybe stems from when they had went out to 9 men against you. I think when Louise and was it Martinelli that day? I think got sent off.
But no, Louise and Bernd Leno got sent off that game. They still bring up that William Jose penalty. And David Luiz trips him up for a penalty, and it's a red card. They can't move on for it. And then Martinelli got sent off the season before last, I think he was, for two yellows in the space of
that
a minute.
That was it. Yeah.
I mean, it was good refereeing. The problem that Arsenal fans should be toxic towards referees for not being consistent, not for Wolves for having a player that should have been sent off. I mean, we've already talked about referees there. I mean, they're the most aggravating people in world football, never mind Arsenal fans.
I can't wait for this on Saturday. It's just going to be literally like, who do Wolves fans hate more, the ref in the middle or Morgan Gibbs-White?
I've personally moved on from the Morgan saga. He needed to leave the club for his career. It's just bonkers for me that he's captain for Forest under Nuno, because Nuno just didn't like him, didn't want to utilise him. And but he's always been a player that's got ability. If he could sort of ration when he puts in his Cruyff turns and gets the basics right, he'd be a top 10 midfielder, top 10 team midfielder for me. He's got an attitude, but I think you've got to have a bit of an ego about you to be a top quality midfielder. You've got to have confidence in yourself. His missus doesn't help things with social media, but that's part and parcel of being a footballer nowadays. You've got to play the media in one way or another, but he'll raise his game again on Saturday, and he'll be a player that we've got to stop if we're going to get a result.
Yeah, if he even plays, yeah.
Yeah, he went off the weekend.
Went off at Spurs holding, like, with clutching his hammy, and we saw him, like, with a nice pack around it, so it might be Gio Reyna starting instead, but we'll see. You're right. I think Gibbs White would very much like to be on a pitch on Saturday, put it that way. But we'll have a subplot. One person who won't be playing is Willie Bolly, sadly, I think, who seems consigned to the injury table for the rest of the season now, it appears.
Yeah, really. He's been one of the best centre backs that I've seen in a Wolves shirt. And then COVID happened. I think he's had like back problems, and then I think he had long COVID on top, and he just hasn't been the same. Same level of centre off that he was on at Wolves, but if he can get him fit, he's a really good defender to have. Similar to what's happening with Felipe. What's happened to him?
He's old and got crap knees. Up to a certain point this season, was arguably our best centre off. He was brilliant, wasn't he, Christian? Like, I remember going Palace away, and he was just like everywhere, and I was like, wow. He's like, I love when he charges out of centre half. He's like a raging bull. He's great.
Yeah, he's an absolute tank, isn't he, when he goes.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, one AFCON finish, me and my mate stood outside Brian Clough's and just like chatting and whatnot, and quite a few players walked past him, and him and Sangare walked past. And I was like, how big is Bolly? Like stood next to him, I was like, and how big is his head? I just love the bloke. So
it's just a year. Yeah. When I went last season, we were like probably like 8 or 9 rows in the lower tier. And I thought Felipe was just an absolute unit. Like, he's the sort of bloke that if you caught him in bed with your missus, you'd ask him if he wants a cup of tea. He's fucking huge.
Oh, he's a good-looking fella as well. So, yeah.
I guess the key question about Saturday, where I see it's terrifying. We have to ask this question to everyone we speak to now. But what are Wolves like at set pieces, Dan? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very effective and 1 being pretty poor.
Are you talking defensively or offensively?
Attacking,
we're okay. Pablo Sarabia is probably one of the best set piece merchants in the league. For me, he's one of the most annoying footballers that I've ever seen in a Wolves shirt, because he's like you know, in NFL where they literally just have like, I don't know what the players, but literally like just set piece players.
Yeah,
just kickers. He's a special teams player. So Pablo Sarabia is. When you want players to like dig in and be physical and, you know, just get stuck into games, he goes missing. Like I've mentioned, I'm 5'3". I'm light as a piece of piss. He makes me look a unit. Pablo Sarabia does, but set pieces, he knows where to put it on the money. He's really good at set pieces, but well, I'm not sure where we even rank in the set piece table. I know we were one of the best.
Above us.
Defensively, I think we were in the top 5 in Europe for a defending set piece. I think it was only till Brentford in the back end of January when we first conceded a set piece this season.
God, I wouldn't even worry about us from set
don't
pieces.
Don't worry about that, yeah.
Gibbs White is like, that is one of his worst parts of his game. I've never seen a bloke who's got so much time can whip a ball outside the boot to get it to a to one of the wingers, but can't take a dead ball for
I mean, I disagree.
I almost swore there for Tuffy.
Like, I feel there have been plenty of times this season where Gibbs White's put a great ball in, which just hasn't been capitalised on. But it's just frustrating when he doesn't beat the first man, because it's sort of like, oh, great, chance wasted. But well, no,
you scored a set piece against us in the Carabao Cup, though, didn't you?
That was last season, wasn't it?
Last season, yeah.
Yeah, Bolly scored.
I think it's just this season's been especially bad. I think we scored, 20 goals, I think, from set pieces, because I think the one that Scott has counted now as one that we counted up wasn't. So it's like 20 goals from set pieces, because it was the worst in the league. So naturally, if you do have any sort of chance of breaking down Forest or struggling to in open play, this is how it generally goes. Teams struggle, as you might have remembered under Nuno, teams struggle to break it down in open play. But and we actually defend pretty well as a unit in open play. We very rarely get carved open. But from set pieces, it's just like playing a Sunday league team. It's really annoying. But
you just said I don't need to be worried on Saturday. I watched James Ward-Prowse score direct from a free kick last Sunday. So I ain't buying into that. Don't be too worried too much.
Direct from the corner,
yeah. You blamed Storm Karen or whatever it was called.
I am surprised Ward-Prowse hasn't done that before, to be fair, with his technique.
So. Yeah, you think so, to be fair, yeah.
What's your injury like this week, Dan? Because I know Ait Nouri's been playing further up and he'd limped off at the weekend as well, and he's been pretty good last few weeks.
Obviously, we're a couple of days short of the actual pre-match press conference. Ait Nouri did limp off. Hopefully, it's just an impact injury. I've already mentioned, obviously, Pedro Neto, because there's an upcoming Euros, there's a chance that he might feature before the end of the season, but he definitely won't be anywhere near the squad this weekend. He isn't even out doing any light running at Compton at the moment, so he's a way off. Hwangi Chan, he could be back this weekend along with Craig Dawson. Jean-Ric Nabelgaard, who we signed in the summer, he'll likely be out again this weekend. But apart from that, we should pretty much have the same sort of squad that we've had in recent weeks, but it's been littered with academy players the last 2-3 months. Yeah, it's a bit difficult. That's why Ryan Atnor is pretty much playing right wing last game, because Gary O'Neill's tried that many different formulas in recent weeks. I think Mario Lemina was playing left wing in February, which it worked well for two games, to be fair. We beat Brighton in the FA Cup where he played left wing, and then we beat Fulham at home 2-1. But as good as I think that Fulham win at home was, I mean, you battered them at home, didn't you? Their away record, Fulham's just... They're awful away from home, so I'm not taking too much credit for that win because of that bad away from home. We've got a really small squad, and hopefully we can get Hwang on the bench on Saturday, because his goals have been a big miss for us since before he went away for the Asia Cup.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously Forest weakness is very much into different set pieces, but what would you say is an area that Forest could maybe exploit in Wolves? Then set up ahead of the week. Obviously, I know you've got like an inexperienced side and that sort of stuff, but from the way you actually play your football, where do you see as a potential area of weakness for yourself?
There's just one key lump of a striker called Chris Wood. Like Adam just mentioned, he's got 9 in 10, did you say, Adam? And I don't know if you want to have a look at his record, he's probably scored about 47 in 12 against Wolves for like Burnley and Millwall and all the other clubs that he's played for. He's always been a nuisance. I remember during the pandemic season when they started lifting restrictions where you could like drink in pubs with like 6 or 7 people or whatever it was, Wolves lost 4-0 at home to Burnley and Chris Wood got a hat-trick. When you're trying to like get your life back to normal and Burnley and battering you 4-0 at home and Chris Wood's getting a hat-trick, you're thinking, I wish I'd never bothered with this football lock. So yeah, it's Chris Wood. Obviously, we've already mentioned if Morgan Gibbs-White is fit, he's going to raise his game. And I think I like Murillo in your centre-half. I feel it'll be a player that you'll struggle to keep hold of if you do go down.
He might be a problem to keep if we stay up. So he's already had interest from like Atletico Madrid and I can't remember who else. Christian,
Arsenal keeping tabs, Chelsea keeping tabs, Liverpool keeping tabs, PSG keeping tabs, Barcelona keeping tabs.
But this is just the bidding war we can start. We'll get one of them auctioneers in to like read off, like get some people with a paddle or whatever. But no, it's interesting you say that. Like obviously, Ait Nouri not playing at fullback. Who's been playing left wing back for you then? Because I'm assuming you're still playing 3-4-2-1 or what? Or like the you kind of play a Christmas tree formation, don't you, Dan?
Yeah. So when when we got beat by Coventry in the FA Cup, which is just like one of the most angry stars I've had in recent years.
Great game for the neutral.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Any sort of injury time winner, no matter what competition is always enjoyable to watch for the neutral. But we had that many players. I mean, we had like an 18, 19-year-old playing up front. And then we brought on an 18-year-old off the bench to try and get us back in the game. If it wasn't for Ryan Ait Nouri that day, it would have been an embarrassment because how we ended up getting it back to 1-1, never mind going 2-1 in front, would have been an absolute robbery that day because Coventry battered us. They should have scored 6 or 7 on the day. Yeah, so Ryan Ait Nouri was playing left wing back. In recent weeks, it's been a mix of Matt Doherty or Hugo Bueno as a up-and-coming, decent left wing-back. Physically, yeah. He might be a bit troubled if he's coming up against Chris Wood or a Wanyi, or I think Nico Williams would probably be a bit more physical than what Hugo Bueno is, but he's got quite a bit of pace and he's quite direct. He's happy to put a ball in without much hesitance. So, yeah, Ryan Ait Nouri will be key on Saturday. If we can get him fit, I'd like to think we'll come away with at least a draw if Ait Nouri's fit. But if he isn't playing on Saturday, with Matheus Cunha not likely to play 90 minutes, I'm struggling to see where our goals are going to come from.
Yeah, because the reason I ask about left wing for you guys is because if Anthony Langer's has got his booster boots on like he did on Saturday for the for the first half, then kind of puts us in good stead to exploit that area of the pitch, hopefully. Obviously, I know Totti playing left centre-half might boot him into the lower clough or the lower A block or whatever, so that always is always a worry as well because he's a big lad. I wouldn't want to get in the way of him, to be honest. So, yeah, it's interesting. What's your lineup prediction for Saturday, Dan?
So we haven't really got many bodies to throw at it. So it's going to be the usual Jose Sarr in goal, probably a back three of I think Craig Dawson will return on Saturday, so he'll play as sort of the sweeper at the three. You'd have Totti to his left and Max Kilman on the right. Nelson Semedo will probably be right wing back. I think Hugo Bueno will be left wing back. Be a midfield two of Mario Lemina and João Gomes. And then it'd be like a sort of a front three of... I think Matheus Cunha will start, but I don't think he'll last much longer than an hour. And then you'll have Ryan Ait Nouri and Pablo Sarabia as the third.
It's not a bad team, to be fair. Yeah, it could be a game. I mean, excuse me. It's one of those where I think we still have probably more on the line than you do. I know, obviously, you're still sort of loosely chasing Europe. Obviously, beat us with your game in hand and you're above or back above West Ham. But it would be interesting to see whether that plays a part into it. Because obviously, we're at the sort of stage of running now where those at the bottom start scrapping and taking points where we don't normally expect them to. So it should be a good game. Very much looking forward to it. But before we wrap up, can we get a score prediction from you?
I'm going to go with the same result as last season. I think it'll finish 1-1. I think the majority of the game you'll probably have the upper hand, but I think our ongoing Premiership guile will probably earn us a point in the end.
Well, I'm hoping for a Chris Wood hat trick, Dan. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, Adam. I'm hoping for Matheus Cunha hat trick or even a Jose Sarr 1-0. But
just because he's a thorn in you. Just because he's a thorn in your...
Chris Wood will be a part of my bet builder in some fashion on Saturday.
just to soften the blow, is it? Just in case.
Yeah, I'm very much a no-lose situation type of guy.
Well, we desperately need the points and we need Luton to obviously get hammered by City and then get beat by you lot in a couple of weeks' time as well. So if we can do that, that'd be great. Yeah,
like I said, the amount of players that we've got out injured at the moment, hopefully Wangi Chan will be back for the Luton game. Matheus Cunha will have a few more minutes under his belt. But the way that Wolves tend to sort of come unstuck against the lower sides, I can't guarantee we'll be getting a result for you at home to Luton, lads. It's just the Wolves' way. We'll probably beat Man City away the couple of weeks after, but we'll probably draw loose at home to Luton.
Lots of twists and turns yet to come, of course. But no, massive thanks for coming on, Dan. Massively appreciate it. And hopefully it's a good game. Are you going? Oh, of course you're going. You're Saturday, aren't you? So, yeah.
I'll be watching in some form of Spanish bar, I hope, on Saturday. And hopefully yeah, there'll be a few happy faces after the game. I don't really want a downer on the Stag do, but I'm sure drinking will play its part.
Well, yeah, win, lose, or draw, you're in the booth regardless, so we're fine. But anyway, we'll have our normal recap on Sunday. And yeah, fingers crossed it's a positive one for us. But until then, enjoy the rest of the week and come on, you Reds.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.